was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. When I met you, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you are my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Good afternoon, church. Hi. It's really lovely to see you all here today. Welcome to our all-age youth-led service. A couple of notices to start us out. We have a group going to Big Church Day Out on the 27th of May. For group bookings, speak to Cudder. We're organising transport and everything going there. Also taking place is Spring Harvest from the 10th to the 14th of April at Butlin's Minehead. If you're interested in going, all of that information is in your notice sheets. We're also starting our youth band week rehearsals back up. That will be starting on Thursday at 6:15. So if you're interested in playing a guitar, bass, drums, and you are part of the youth, we'd love to see you there. Also, this week is World Day of Prayer on the 3rd of March at 1 p.m. at St. Michael's. And the prayers this year will be for Taiwan. It'll be really great to see you there as well. This sermon, this week, we've chosen to do our service on forgiveness and what that really means to us and how we can take that out into the world. But first, let's pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us all here. We're really grateful to be here and to be seeking you. We pray that as we look at this topic of forgiveness, we're really touched and you open our hearts to learn what we should, and we pray that we go away with something new. Amen. So as this is an all-age youth service, we'll be starting out with a fun, dancey song. It's called Wide and Long and High and Deep. I don't know if any of you know it, but it's got a lot of actions. Emily, would you like to join me to demonstrate the actions? So I can't do the actions because I'm playing guitar, but we'll give you a demonstration and Emily will be with you all the way. So it goes wide and long and high and deep, and does it three times, is the love of Jesus, and that is the love of Jesus for us. And we pray that we will know his love, and we pray that we will grow in love, and we pray that we will be filled up with the spirit of, and there's a lot of clapping. We'd love to see you joining in and having a good dancey time. Please stand and join us for our first song.
Endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercies endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. You are good and your mercies endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercies endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
So all the songs that were chosen today were all about forgiveness, and I think this song says it best, really. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs to face God and really ask for forgiveness. And one thing that is highlighted in this song is God's love. His love and his power. So sing with us, Mighty to Save.
Compassion, love that's never failed. Thank you.
We're going to have Emmanuel give our reading for today.
The Lord is compassionate.
Do you want to say this one?
Oh, Psalms 103, verse 8 to 13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. But as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Okay. So, you may have seen my little friend over here for this demonstration. No volunteers needed. I'll just be asking you guys a few questions. So really to explain what forgiveness is and how powerful it really is to us. Because I think sometimes we forget or we can't fully grasp it. So this is Hubert. Hubert is an example of us. Hubert is us. So I do want to ask you guys, do you have, could you just shout out a few examples of some sins that we might commit? I think there's a lot of things. So the first one I might write down, lying. I think that's an easy one to sort of think of. Any others that we can think of? Adults who are welcome to answer. Being mean to someone. Any ideas? Pardon? Rudeness, very good. Stealing as well, we got from the back. Any others?
Bullying.
What was that?
Hurting,
yes. Hurting other people. Hurting, sorry, I forgot the one that came over here.
Bullying.
Thank you. Awesome. Any others?
Gossiping.
Yeah. Good. Stealing, we've got stealing on here.
Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Murder,
yes. Gossiping. I put murder down here. Any others? This is a good spread, to be honest. Okay, so Hubert clearly has been very bad. And all of these things not only make God sad, but also make us sad. Oh, poor Hubert. So all of these things are stuck to Hubert right now. He can't get them off unless someone comes in and gets rid of all of them. I knew this would happen. I knew there'd be one that I couldn't do. Only God can get rid of everything that we have ever done and turn our fan upside down. Only God can clean us completely. There's nothing that we can do by ourselves. Hubert with his little stubby arms like this, he can't do anything. But God can clean us completely. And that's what forgiveness is. God is washing us completely of all of our sins. We're going to watch a video soon about how God does that and why God does that and how we can then bring that out to other people. But he was very heavy now. Yes, this was just a quick example of what that really means. That's a power that we cannot have in ourselves. So we're going to sing a song now about that power that God has to break every chain. Please stand.
Mm-hmm.
power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Please be seated. We're going to watch two videos back to back now to really look at this topic of forgiveness.
Main messages, if not the main message of the Bible, is that God has forgiven us all of our sins through sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and rise from the dead. And the expectation then is that we pay that forward, that we forgive others that have forgiven us. Now, if you've grown up in the church, you're probably aware of the Lord's Prayer, or it's also called the Our Father. And in that prayer is embedded this petition in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says these very powerful words. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So I don't know if you realize this or not, but that is probably the hardest prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, because ultimately we're asking him to forgive us like we forgive other people. Meaning, when you pray this prayer, you're either saying, "Forgive me because I forgive other people," or "Don't forgive me because I don't forgive other people." Now, the reason that Jesus has this embedded in this prayer is because he knows our hearts. He knows how we love mercy. We love forgiveness when we mess up. We avoid punishment at all costs. We don't want it. And so, yeah, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. But when someone hurts you, is that your prayer for them? That they would be forgiven? That you wouldn't be offended by how they've treated you? That you would let it slide? That you'd be merciful to them? Or is your knee-jerk reaction to get revenge? To seek to hurt that person? To make sure that they feel the pain that you experienced? More often than not, we're not praying this prayer like we're supposed to pray it. And part of that, it's the reason that we don't like to forgive is sometimes we assume that, well, if I forgive them, then I'm just giving that person a license to hurt me again. Or maybe we assume that when we forgive that person, it's not going to change them anyway, so what's the point? Or maybe we're showing that we're weak and we're empowering them to come back and do whatever they did. Sometimes when we withhold forgiveness, what we're ultimately doing is holding that person in our debt. And we see this a lot in family dynamics where a parent is hurt by their child. And so they punish them by withholding good gifts and quality time. And they withhold favors from their children. When we withhold forgiveness from other people, we give ourselves the impression that we're the good guy and they're the bad guy. And maybe we convince ourselves that we are better than they are, and therefore God will love us and he'll forgive us because they're such evil, horrible people. Now, that seems logical. That seems practical. It seems like that's how the world should work, especially because some of you have been hurt in very bad ways, in ways that I couldn't even imagine. And yet Jesus does not mince words here. In fact, at the very end of the Lord's Prayer, he says this, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's pretty clear. Now, I want to be very cautious here that we don't take God's word out of context. I don't want you thinking that, okay, that you have to forgive all these people and then God will ultimately forgive you. That's not how it works. You are already forgiven. You are already a child of God. But now the expectation is that you pay that forgiveness forward. And if you don't, then God will withdraw his forgiveness from you. Here's the point. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. That's our calling in life. And Jesus modeled this for us. When he was hanging on the cross, he had been beaten. He had been abused by his enemies. They had stripped him of his clothes. They were relentlessly yelling at him and calling him names. And at that moment, he could have called for divine justice upon these people. He could have asked God the Father to destroy them with lightning or hail or whatever. But what does he do? In that impossible moment, he prays for them. He says, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And in the same way, Jesus prays that prayer over us. By nature, we were enemies of God. You and I were against the Lord. And yet he didn't pray for divine justice against us. He prayed for mercy. He asked that the Father would forgive us because we didn't know what we were doing. And that's what he's done. And now again, we're called to pay that forward. Right after this happened, in the book of Acts, we find out about a gentleman named Stephen. He was a follower of Jesus, and he ended up preaching to the very crowd that had crucified Jesus on the cross. Well, they didn't like his sermon, and they were angry with him and against him, and they started pelting him with stones, to the point where he was dying. And he didn't pray for divine justice against his enemies. He looked up to heaven and he said, "Lord, please don't hold this sin against them." Why? Because Stephen knew how much the Lord had forgiven him. He knew how much he had his sins forgiven. And so he was asking God to pay that forward. Back in high school, I read a book called The Hiding Place. It was written by a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. She lived during World War II. And she and her family actually used their home to hide over 800 Jewish refugees to protect them from the Nazis. Well, eventually they were found out, arrested, and taken to concentration camps. There, her sister died, her father died, and thankfully she was eventually let go on a clerical error. But before that, she had seen atrocities and experienced atrocities no one should ever go through. But what got her through that entire process was holding on to Jesus, holding on to his promises. And when she eventually got out and the war was over, she made it her goal to go around and preach this message of forgiveness. And she tells the story that when she was in Germany and she was talking to a small crowd, afterwards, this large gentleman approached her and with his hand held out, a big smile on his face, and she recognized him immediately as one of the guards at the prison. And he asked her, he said, "Fräulein, after the war, I became a Christian. I know I'm forgiven, but I would love to hear it from you." And she says that in that moment, all she felt was hatred. She remembered everything he had done, and there was not an ounce of forgiveness in her body. And then those words from Matthew chapter 6 came flooding into her mind. "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." You will not be forgiven if you do not forgive. And she prayed in her mind. She said, "Lord, I can't forgive him, but forgive him through me." And in that moment, she said something like electricity started to flow through her body. And not only did she reach out her hand, but she grabbed that man and gave him a bear hug. And in each other's arms, they wept as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called by God as forgiven people to forgive people. And when you find that difficult, when you find that hard, pray that prayer that Corey prayed. "Lord, I can't, but you can through me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your children, as part of your family, you've called us to do what seems impossible at times, to forgive other people when they've sinned against us. But Lord, we can only do the impossible because you've done that first and foremost for us, and now we ask that you do it through us, that whatever pains, whatever hurts that we've experienced, Lord, help us to have your heart for our enemies. In your name we pray, amen.
Did you enjoy this video? Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube so you don't miss a single message. Click right here.
How do you maintain unity, harmony, and peace with other people, especially other Christians? Well, first of all, you need to remember that you're teammates with these people. You're on the same team working towards the same goal. Or you can think about it this way. You're part of the same family. You are brothers and sisters in Christ. But what happens when one of those teammates treats you like an opponent? Or what happens when one of those family members treats you like an enemy? Because it's going to happen if it hasn't happened already. Well, years ago, when I was a teen going to a Christian high school, we Christians didn't always act like Christians. Sometimes we could be pretty nasty to each other. And instead of looking to be reconciled and to fix what we had broken, more often than not, we would retaliate, that we would hurt each other. And as they say, hurt people hurt people. And ultimately, we wouldn't seek unity, we would seek division. And unfortunately, things haven't changed much since I was a teen, except for the fact that now you can get back at people through Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever other app you can download to your phone. It's very convenient. It's very easy to blow up your relationships. It's easy to destroy somebody's reputation. And you can do it from the safety of anywhere, right? But if you retaliate instead of seek reconciliation, and if you do it in person or online, what you're doing is you're falling into the devil's trap. Because the devil is all about dividing, whereas Jesus is all about uniting. He's all about maintaining unity. Now, this ability to reconcile does not come to you or me naturally. It's something that we need to be taught. And that's what Jesus teaches for us in Luke chapter 17. This is what he says. He says, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them." So if someone hurts you, the first thing you should do is not retaliate. You shouldn't get on Facebook and complain about it. In fact, he doesn't even say you should forgive them. The first thing that Jesus says is you should rebuke that person. In Matthew chapter 18, he clarifies. He says, pull that person aside, just between the two of you, have this conversation. And when you rebuke them, that means you call them out. You say, what you did was wrong. It hurt me. You need to stop. And then hopefully that person recognizes what they did was wrong. They repent, they say they're sorry, and then you get to say you're forgiven. Now, when you say that, you're not saying that it's okay. You're not minimizing what they did to you. No, you are declaring what God says is that that sin has been absorbed by God. It's been taken away. It's been nailed to the cross. That's how you maintain unity within this family of believers. And honestly, this is the message that convinced me that I wanted to be a pastor. Now, in that same high school, we always had evening devotions, and the pastor was preaching on this very topic. And that evening, I was hanging out in the student union, And my little sister came running in, weeping, crying, and telling me that this guy in her class had been making fun of her, saying all these mean and nasty things. And empowered by this message, I went up to that kid, not to retaliate, not to punch him in the teeth. I went up to him, and you gotta get this, I am not a confrontational person. I do not like confrontation at all. But I went up to him and I apologized. I said, look, I've been talking about you, I've not been talking to you, but what I need you to know is that your jokes are not funny, they are hurtful, they are harmful, you need to stop. Well, this kid is a foot and a half taller than me, and he could have pummeled me if he wanted to. But he looks at me with these big sad eyes, and he says, I had no idea. I am so sorry. And right then I got to say, you're forgiven. It was amazing. Like, when you seek reconciliation, you will experience miracles. This is not a fun process. It's not easy. But when you do what God calls you to do, you will see amazing things. Now, what happens when you go through this awkward process of rebuking someone, they repent, and you get to restore them through forgiveness, and then they go and sin again, and again, and again? Jesus addresses that. He says, even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So Jesus gives this scenario where someone hurts you 7 times in a day. They come back, you've rebuked them, they repent, and he says you have to forgive them every single time. You know, normally we think 3 strikes and you're out. But 7 times, oh my goodness. And the apostles had it right. Jesus' followers said, increase our faith. And that literally is the prayer that we need to be praying when we are caught in that situation. And when I pray that prayer, more often than not, what Jesus reminds me, he says, Dan, how many times have I forgiven you in a day? And I think about that and I realize, wow, it's way more than 7 times in one day. And so the Lord says, I want you to do the same for those that have hurt you. Pay it forward. Because this is how Jesus maintains unity within this family, within this team unit. It's through repentance and forgiveness. And this is how he maintains unity between you and your family, between you and your spouse, between you and your kids, between you and fellow Christians. Jesus says, once again, Luke 17, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. And keep doing this. And so I've boiled it down to 4 R's. If someone hurts you, rebuke them. If they repent, restore that relationship through forgiveness. And repeat. So rebuke, they repent, you restore, and repeat. And when you find that difficult to do, which you will find it very difficult to do, you pray that prayer that the apostles prayed, Lord, increase my faith. Let's pray. Lord, there are people that have hurt me in my life, and I unfortunately have been holding grudges against them. And I pray right now by the power of your Spirit that you would increase my faith, that you would help me to let go, just like you have let go of my sins. Help me to forgive like you have forgiven my sins. And in that process, I'm not saying that what they did is okay. I'm not minimizing it. I'm saying it has been nailed to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Did you?
Could the worship team come back up, please? So as we've seen in the video, not only does God forgive us, but we have that amazing power to be able to forgive others and really give them that relief of saying, this thing is taken away from you, and we can lead them to Christ through that. As it said in the video, forgiven people forgive people. I think that's such a great saying. So who might you need to forgive this week? Maybe you have someone in mind already, not looking at anyone. Or maybe you'll face something in your week where it just leaves you seething, but you really just need to forgive that person. In those moments, we really do need to pray that prayer, don't we, to increase our faith and for God to give us the strength to do that. Let's just reflect on that over this next song. Please stand or sit as you feel comfortable. The song is Every Day, and it says, "Every day I need you, Jesus. You are the savior, you are the healer, you'll always be." And I think that just really well encapsulates everything that we've talked about. The pain that can come from not forgiving someone, God can heal it. The sin that we have, God is the savior who can take that away. So yeah, let's just sing that song.
A sinner saved by your love. Though I'm broken, you make me strong. I'm only human with help from above. You called my name, forever I'm healed by grace. Whenever I fall, you're always waiting for me. Oh, you're waiting for me. Every day I need you, Jesus. You are the savior, you are the healer, you'll always be. Every day I need you, Jesus. You are the savior, you are the healer, you'll always be. You help me breathe through every moment. You stand there with me. You called my name. Forever I'm healed by grace. Whenever I fall, you're always waiting for me. Oh, you're waiting for me. Every day I need you, Jesus. You are the savior, you are the healer, you'll always be. Jesus, you are the savior, you are the healer, you'll always be.
Father God, we're so grateful for your forgiveness, for your love that washes away all of our sins. We know we can do nothing to grant us your love and your forgiveness. That is all to you, and we're so grateful. Lord, help us to give that same mercy to other people, to face the world and show them the same mercy that you showed us, to show them you. Lord, as we go out this week, help us to be gracious to everyone that we meet, to give them the benefit of the doubt, to forgive them fully. Lord, we as forgiven people can only forgive people, and we hope that other people are led to you through it. Amen. need you, Jesus. You are the Savior, you are the healer, you'll always be. Every day I need you, Jesus. You are the Savior, you are the healer, you'll always be. Thank you so much for joining us for this all-age service. It's always lovely to see so many people. Please feel free to join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. Thank you. Lord, you are good. What's wrong with you? Started it now. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. What's wrong with you? Lord, you are good. Endureth forever. Lord, you are